Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. This is Pastor Sean Harris looking at an article from FoxNews.com entitled, Obama Suggests Republicans Unwilling to Compromise in Gun Control Debate. President Obama is suggesting that House Republicans on the issue of gun control appear neither willing to work with him nor inclined to listen to the American public on the issue. The House Republican majority is made up mostly of members who are sharply gerrymandered districts that are very safely Republican and may not feel compelled to pay attention to broad-based public opinion because what they're really concerned about is the opinions of their specific Republican constituencies, the president said in an interview with the New Republic. Obama said, also said he can get 50% of public support for many of his up-and-coming initiatives, but I can't get enough votes out of the House of Republicans to actually get something passed. I think there is still shock on part of some of the in the party that won re-election. Well, let's just pause for just a minute and provide a little commentary. So gerrymandering is the process whereby district lines are configured in support of the political party in office. So district lines are constantly being redrawn throughout the United States by whoever the political party is in office at the given time. Now, the president is making particular sharp criticism of the fact that these House of Representatives, these representatives from the House of Representatives, are in fact representing their districts, and he wants them to set aside their particular representation of their districts and look at the majority opinion, and thereby simply ignore their constituencies and go with what the majority wants, and in particular on this issue of gun control. Now let's make a point that our government was set up intentionally with three branches such that neither branch could force an agenda through without a collective union of at least two of those branches. And then the judicial, legislative branch was set up with two houses, and in particular, there was a representation by state, and then within each of those states, by district, according to population. And then on top of that, there was a two senators per state without regard to population. So there was a real attempt to create balance or checks and balances to ensure that the population was represented and smaller states were not simply ignored or trumped by larger states. So this is all intentional. This difficulty that the president is experiencing is not unique to himself. All presidents have experienced this. This is part of the system. This is part of ensuring that the president doesn't become a king. This is part of ensuring that the entire nation is considered in the process. And that large urban centers such as Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and New York, Dallas, Los Angeles, that they don't just rule all 50 states because of popular opinion within these large urban centers such as Cleveland and so forth. The president said he has profound respect for the traditions of hunting that date back for generations. He said that moving forward on the topic means understanding that the realities of guns in urban areas are very different from the realities of guns in rural areas. He said it is understandable that people are protective of their family traditions when it comes to hunting, so gun control advocates also need to do a little more listening than they do sometimes in the debate. Now, let's make sure that we're clear here. The president is making particular reference to hunting traditions. I need you to understand that that's not the issue. There are large numbers of Americans that are concerned about protecting their families. They don't hunt. They get their beef from Food Lion and Walmart and Sam's Club. They don't hunt. They have guns in their house to protect themselves from those who would seek to do them harm. And this is why when Joe Biden says that a shotgun is the best choice, there is a degree to which what he's saying is correct, but the ability to reload a shotgun is exceptionally time-consuming in comparison to a 5-round magazine or a 10-round magazine or even a large-capacity magazine like a 30-round magazine. I mean, there's a reason why soldiers are not equipped with shotguns. They are equipped with AR-15s and so on and so forth, M-16s and such. They have weapons that shoot from magazines. Now, we can have an entire separate podcast and debate on large capacity magazines, but I'm just making the point that it's not just a hunting issue. Obama also said that one of the biggest factors in the gun control debate will be how it is shaped by the media. If a Republican member of Congress is not punished on Fox News or by Rush Limbaugh for working with a Democrat on a bill of common interest, then you'll see more of them doing it. He said, I think John Boehner generally wanted to get a deal done. Of course, he's talking about the Speaker of the House, but it was hard to do it in part because his caucus is more conservative probably than most Republican leaders are, and partly because he is vulnerable to attack for compromising Republican principles and working with Obama. Well, once again, let me make the point that a two-party system was very intentionally created in order to mitigate, in order to reduce the probability that a dictator takes over the United States and that we have a new king. Let's not forget that the king was a major factor in creating a new government. And George Washington refused to be the king. He could have easily, in the popularity that he had, stayed in office for life and probably named a successor. But that was not the system that was put in place. And that was intentional. And the president needs to understand that the media, the First Amendment right, is intentionally the Bill of Rights. That's part of what makes America different. That's part of what makes America different from Cuba. That's part of what makes America a unique country. And to suggest that that should change is absurd. And maybe the president's not suggesting that. So let's give him the benefit of the doubt. But I'm saying, as part of my commentary here, that the First Amendment right is absolutely critical to maintaining the government that we have and the nation that we have. The president argued that the more left-leaning media outlets recognize that compromise is not a dirty word and that party leaders, including Senate Majority Harry Reid and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, are willing to buck the more absolutist wing elements in our party to try to get stuff done. Well, isn't that wonderful? Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi are just awesome, but not that Republican majority leader. Has Obama himself ever fired a gun? Yes, he says he and others shoot skeet frequently at the president's Maryland retreat, Camp David. Now that's wonderful, but let's remember that the president is surrounded by a security detachment that is world class in nature for the most part. And so the idea of needing a weapon for personal protection will never cross the president's mind. It just won't. The president also said that much of the challenge in Washington is to make Americans feel that national politics is indeed connected to their day-to-day realities. That's a joke. That's just a joke. These folks are so far removed from the realities of what we go through on a day-to-day basis that they're nearly clueless. You say, how do you justify such a strong comment? I justify it by the reality that the great majority of representatives and senators that enter the House or the Senate do not enter it as millionaires, but they leave as millionaires. There's articles, Google what I'm saying. It's easy to document, no problem finding it. It's a fact. And so these people in Washington don't have any clue what it's like to balance electric bill with a car payment. They're absolutely clueless, and that's the problem. We have a professional government full of lobbyists. I was just reading an article the other day about the number of family members that are lobbyists. So I'm the representative, and my son's a professional lobbyist. What a conflict in interests. The president goes on to say, and that's not unjustifiable view, he said, so everything we do combines both a legislative strategy with a broad-based communications and outreach strategy to get people engaged and involved so that it's not Washington over here and the rest of the America over there. Well, that's exactly what it is, Mr. President, and you have 4 years to fix it. Now, let's close with a moment about these critics, Fox News, and in particular, Rush Limbaugh. Let us recognize that critics play a sanctifying element in our lives, a sanctifying element. Critics cause us to reassess. Critics cause us to think twice. Critics cause us to double check. Do we like critics? No, we don't. Would we prefer not to have any critics? Yes. That's our carnal, fleshly nature. The reality is that criticism, when done right and appropriate, is exceptionally sanctifying. It's exceptionally sanctifying in the life of the believer. And I say that as a pastor, and I hope that you, as a Christian listening to this podcast, recognize that critics are used by God to conform you to the image of His Son. And the degree to which we listen and respond to our critics is often the degree to which they have a sanctifying effect in our lives. Thanks for listening. Those are my thoughts. What are yours? Post them to this podcast. Don't be afraid to put a comment down. Put your email address down. If you're ready to take a stand with a name and an email address, and then articulate your position well. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.